Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Well, it's been, what, more than 24 hours, and still struggling to find the words, or a word, to sufficiently describe what we saw yesterday at Cleveland Browns Stadium, how that all came down in terms of the way the Browns suffered that 13-12 loss to the Rams. I came up with excruciating in the minutes after the game. I think that one still applies, but it seems like there has to be more to it than that. And I also it just reminded me that as long as you're around this game, and if you're around it as long as I've been around it, around the NFL, you'll see just about anything, and that fell under the just about anything category as well as anything could. Anyhow, we are going to take a look back at the game, as painful as it might be, but we will do so in thorough fashion, and I think, and I know, in very interesting fashion. We're going to have Bernie Kosar here for the first of his two weekly visits to help us with that process. The roundtable gets together, Jimmy Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. The four of us gather and talk and dissect and get into what took place yesterday. There's really a lot to talk about in a 13-12 game, and a lot of elements beyond the disastrous way that it ended for the Browns. There's still a lot of places we can go with that. Our daily poll question, which is, and we go there, our daily poll question, which is posted on the Browns official Facebook page, and it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube, is: after that loss to the Rams, which Browns player had the best game? Tell us. Make a pick. Because there were some guys who played well. Greg Little on this list. Chris Obanaya. Phil Taylor. Three choices. We'll give out our game balls, by the way, during the second portion of the roundtable segment. We always do two segments with that on Mondays after a game because there is so much to cover. So we'll tell you what we think. And then at the end of the show, we'll give you the results of your voting and a bunch of you voting on this already. So we'll see. Phil Dawson, by the way, was the other, I guess I give you his. Dawson, Little, Obanaya, Taylor. Four names on that list. Your questions are always something we look forward to on this show, and you send them to the Browns official Facebook page, and we get them from there. We also get them from our official Twitter page. Bunch in Facebook, and let's get to those. John: we're not as bad as we're playing, he says. Why can't we execute? Well, John, I'd say this. No touchdowns, and yeah, execution is a part of that. But I thought execution on the whole, on both sides of the ball, was pretty good yesterday. It really was. There were some positives to take away from that game, as much as anyone might not want to hear that. It's a fact. Colt McCoy played well. Played probably his best game of the season. Chris Obanaya ran well. Pat Shurmur was creative and came up with a lot of good ideas to implement in his game plan, and I liked them, and most of them worked. And he's taken a big hit for a lot of the coaching decisions that were made in the course of the game. Fine, that goes with that turf. But I also think if you're going to rip him for the things you didn't like, you should acknowledge the things you do like about what he did, and there was more than a few things to like from the standpoint of imagination, creativity, and opening things up, and knowing, showing that you knew your opponent well enough as their former offensive coordinator, as he was, to help your defense deal with them. Jen asks, why didn't they challenge the ruling on the face mask? I guess this was the Evan Moore penalty that cost them a touchdown. Was it a face mask? Well, Jen, you don't get to challenge face masks. Not allowed. It's not a play you can challenge. So that explains that, whether you agreed or disagreed with the call or whether the coaching staff did or didn't, it's not a challengeable infraction. Gina asks, why settle for a field goal when you were in the red zone, 4th and 3, with time running out? Well, Gina, I would say this. I agreed with this approach. They got close toward the end, and time was running down. And I think it made perfect sense when you have what should be and you believe to be the almost certain short field goal that you're going to get that will put you in front. And then the way the defense played, and it was playing exceptionally well. And that's the other bright takeaway I would have from this game, is that the defense played well. The defense played well. The defense rebounded from a disastrous showing the week before. And you can say, well, they played well against a crappy team. Well, the Rams were 1-7, and they're not a good football team coming in. And afterward, they were, you know, in conversations I had with their general manager, Billy Devaney, Chris Long, their defensive end, guys I know from that team, among others, they knew they got a win that they shouldn't have had, but they take it because they were 1-7 coming in. They'll take them any way you can get them. Same with the Browns. But it was the right thing to trust your defense on a day when it was playing well and decide to get the win with a field or put yourself in a position for the win with a field goal that you would expect to be executed well. There's no reason to think a 22-yarder isn't going to happen with Phil Dawson kicking it, with Ryan Pomprion snapping it, with guys like Alex Mack and others blocking for it. I mean, you just thought that whole and Brad Maynard holding for it. Brad Maynard did an amazing job just to get the ball up for the ball to be kicked, let alone, you know, let alone just handling, just getting his hands on it. He got his hands on it and got out. He is the very, very much the best holder in the NFL. We found out why. We heard that about him reputation-wise, and it was true. So that's where we go. And then the question, the follow-up to that from Dennis, I wanted to mention this one because Dennis asked, why was it three running plays inside the 20 at the end of the game? Why not a fade route? This is about also clock management, Dennis, and I felt that that was the other component to doing this. Trust your defense, set up what will be a makeable field goal, you believe, and run the clock down and create, you hope, a long field with little time left for the Rams to do anything about it. Okay? Those are my thoughts or my responses. We have more of your questions, and we'll get to those as the show progresses. Now, in a couple of minutes, we're going to have a conversation with the one and only Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback. Two of us will dissect or take our first stab at dissecting yesterday's 13-12 loss to the Rams. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12, which is in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game on ESPN 850 WKNL. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Cleveland starts here every Sunday with the Browns. It starts with hard-nosed football. It's diehard loyalty. It's committing to the full 50. PNC is proud to be a sponsor of the Browns and a backer of every fan like you, because you're part of the undeniable achievement that's happening right now in this great city. So whether it's a tailgate party or over 73,000 Browns fans, it all starts in Cleveland. PNC Bank, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
College football fans, the Touchdown in Paradise tailgate tour is coming to Cleveland. Stop by the Legacy Village Mall, AT&T store, located at 25309 Cedar Road in Lyndhurst from 5 and 8 p.m. on November 25th. AT&T UVerse and ESPN are throwing the ultimate tailgating party with food, prizes, and a special appearance by former Buckeye great Mike Doss. Go to touchdowninparadise.com today for event and sweepstakes details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See site for official rules and who's eligible to enter to win. Meet Mike Doss and party like it's game day.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
71 southbound before Forbes accident on the right shoulder. It is going to back you all the way up to the stretch at Harvard. You've got 71 southbound slow westbound and 50th to snow. 40 eastbound back in Broadway to Warrensville Center. 40 westbound slow Warrensville Center over to Broadway. The inbound East Shoreway is backing up Aviation High School over to Dead Man's Curve. And the Interbelt southbound slow Superior to 77. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, which is driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12, which is in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He joins us every week to break down the Browns, and on Mondays we look back on the game they played. He is Bernie Kosar, former Browns great quarterback. Bernie, a tough one to assess, and I you know, when I think of ways that this team has lost through the years, as so many people do, attaching what happens now to the past, I guess it was easy to do that with what unfolded Sunday, and you've been, you know, part of these excruciating losses so much that I know I wouldn't even want to make you talk about or remember those. But to think about this one and how hard this one had to be to digest and watch it unfold, what was your reaction?
Well, I do think the football gods tend to even things out. And unfortunately, though, I do think you believe and remember some of the bad things, more so than you remember the positives. You know, us being within a touchdown at the Raiders and Frisco after the way we played, to have beaten and come back and won against the Dolphins when the game went poor most of the game. You know, yesterday I thought we played better, had the game in hand, and if you could put any sequence of plays down that we feel as an organization and team the most comfortable with, it would probably be the field goal operation between snapper, holder, and kicker Phil Dawson, who, and again, in 25-mile-an-hour winds, 40-mile-an-hour gusts, kicks four long ones yesterday to come down to the 2 minutes of the game and have basically a chip shot 22-yarder. You got to feel pretty comfortable with it, and for it to transpire like that was like a dagger.
Yeah, and everything that that led up to that, I had no problem with. I know there's been a lot of second guessing of Pat Shurmur's not maybe playing enough for a touchdown in the circumstance late in the game, but I thought right then and there, you go for the win, you trust your defense, you do, you know, I didn't think there was an unnatural conservatism there. I thought it was actually the right thing to do because of how well that defense had played, and to trust this operation that you talked about. When you hear the names of Phil Dawson and Ryan Pontbriant as a snapper and Brad Maynard as a holder, and then throw in Alex Mack on up front in protection, and then his leg coming back to cause the ball to carom backward roll to the holder, to Maynard. Those, if you put those four guys on a list, you don't expect anything bad to happen with that group.
No, you're absolutely. And, you know, Coach Shermer in the conservatism or not, you know, it was, but I think it was justified conservatism. I mean, that's to our point where those are the guys that are the most consistent, the most reliable, and a game that we thought we should have won. It's just disheartening to have this feeling.
And talk about the disheartening feeling, because, again, you've lived it. And I guess if you're a Browns fan, you live it and know it. But as a Browns player, as someone who's been in the locker room and gone through this, what do you do about it as a team and players? Does it, in terms of manifesting itself and not becoming something that overrides the bigger picture of trying to improve as a football team? I mean, these are the kinds of losses that are obviously much harder to put aside and then refocus onto something else.
You know, even it's imperative that you do what you're talking about. It's imperative. And even back to again, I don't like to always regress back to my career, but some of those disheartening games came in AFC Championship games. You have to win a lot of games and have a lot of good things happen and make a lot of good things happen just to get to that level of the playoffs. And it's imperative that you don't really get this woe is me type attitude. Oh, what's bad's going to happen to me? Because if you start expecting bad things to happen, they tend to crystallize, where I'm a big believer in trying to think positive, be positive, visualize positive things happening to give yourself a chance at those things transpiring. But, you know, I saw Colt mentioned after the game that, you know, it was kind of bad luck and that type stuff. And it probably was. But you got to separate and get those thoughts out of your head, because you have to be able to bounce back from this and not linger in it or think that, again, the football gods have something out for me.
Former Browns quarterback Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, the first of his two weekly appearances here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, you bring up Colt. And on a day like yesterday, where it's very hard to feel good about anything after a loss like that, Colt McCoy was really a bright spot. His performance is as good as, I guess, as good as it's been for the whole season. He played well. Chris Obanaya ran very well, had his best outing, 90 yards, 4.7 yard average. I mentioned McCoy, 97.5 passer rating, 20 of 27. So the numbers are good there. And You really look at Greg Little catching a 52-yarder from Colt, and Pat Shermer's imagination in his play calling, the creativity, opening up the book wider than we've seen it all year, and very encouraging there. I know this is an offense that did not score a touchdown, that has struggled, that just struggles mightily to get the ball in the end zone. So on that count, I say it cautiously, but there were things to like about the way this offense played yesterday.
Yeah, not only the way they played, the effort and intensity. I think St. Louis had six guys injured during the course of the game. 53-man roster, 47 guys are dressed. That's like six guys. It's almost like 12% of the team got hurt because of how physical and tenacious the players were coming at it. I also think we were that aggressive and creative within our schemes offensively, and Dick Geron defensively, to hold the Rams offense in check for most of the game. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, when you're at this level of development or rebuilding that we are, a mistake is magnified because we have to play so good, almost perfect, to pull these things out. And when you don't, again, those mistakes just are highly come up and have and make a big difference in the course of winning or losing.
Yeah, and you know, the two areas again where you don't expect things to go so awry for this football team did happen on special teams. One again being that the obvious, that the botched snap and the result of a missed 22-yard field goal that puts them in excellent position to win the game, provided the defense would do its part. And then Josh Cribbs fumbling on a return where it looked to me like a guy who was trying to do as much as he possibly could, and I love the heart and the fighter of him. Who could not? But he pushed it so hard and to the point where he's in that situation, and maybe just, I'm going to say the word reckless, but I think that's what happens when you're overextending yourself to maybe be to get more because you know you have to. The rest, because it's not going well from an offensive standpoint with touchdowns.
Yeah, and there's unfortunately no doubt about what you're saying is accurate. The effects, ramifications of trying to win end up having, I think sometimes you try to do too much. And Bill Belichick has a big line that says, just do your job, do your part. But when you're in these kind of losing situations and you're pressing and trying and attempting so hard to pull out victories, you tend to try, in a leader, in a competitive person, which you do like, you do want those type of guys. You have to have those type of guys. But sometimes you try to press a little too much. You try to do a little too much. And you kind of get out of your zone, and you make a little mistake that turns into a big mistake.
Right. And when I think about Pat Shurmur and his reaction to all this, a lot's been said about how he acted in the post-game news conference. But that fiery demeanor that he showed there is exactly what I expect to see. I expect a frustrated and angry kind of coach. I don't have a problem with him handling it the way he did. I don't know that he's a guy who's out of answers, but I know he's a guy who's determined still to find them. And I you know, my sense is to have some admiration for how he's kind of handling it and squeezing a lot out of a team that is banged up, that is undermanned. And you could make that excuse that this roster doesn't allow some of the best coaches in football history to have success, but that is not something Pat Shurmur's ever going to say. But I'm still going to be on the side that says that I think he's doing everything he can to get to squeeze every drop out of this roster.
I agree with you. I mean, look at the end of the day, he was a center when he played, a fiery, competitive, fighting type person and personality. And okay, I don't want a team, an organization that passively gets over losses. 20 minutes after a game doesn't bother him. Like what I saw in that press conference yesterday is a guy who hates losing, who's, you know, PO'd off that they're going through it and feels terrible about it. And, you know, football's an emotional, adrenaline-laced sport and game. And you see that even from coaches. And I like to see that. I want to see that competitiveness. Just a sullen, melancholy, generic talk. I don't really want to see at that point.
Well, Bernie, great stuff as always, even when we're trying to assess something like this. We will get together again on Friday, and we will talk about the Jacksonville game.
Sounds good, Vic. Have a good week.
All right, you too. Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterbacking great, making his regular appearance here with us on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports is in the game. Stick around for more on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has thousands of vehicles on sale now. For only $179 a month, you can drive off a new Ranger, Escape, or Fusion. That's right, only $179 a month on three of Liberty's best sellers. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick,
a Waker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, it's Mike Rom here with Fiona from a local Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
Good. How are you, Mike?
I'm all right. What do you want to talk about?
Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
Okay.
We will replace your pads or shoes, machine your rotors or drums. All labor is included, and we throw in a rebate. Get Motorcraft Complete Brake Service and get a $40 rebate. That's $40 back in your pocket.
One price covers everything.
That's correct.
So it really is complete.
It is complete. Stop by a participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
Life is rarely patient. You can't wait 4 years to find that job you've always wanted. Get the skills you need to start over in as little as 1 year as a full-time student. Check out Stotzenberger College's 2-year accelerated diploma programs, massage therapy, and personal fitness trainer. When speed matters, think Stotzenberger. Call Stotzenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everyone is talking about. For more information about college graduation rates, median debt, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify and eligible veterans can utilize their Montgomery GI Bill.
It's the big deal at K&G.
The big deal?
That's right. Buy one big and tall suit, get 2 suits free.
2 suits free?
Yep, 2 suits free. That's 3 men's big and tall suits for $199.99 or 3 regular-sized suits for $179.99.
That is big.
Sale ends November 27th.
K&G. Fashion superstore. K&G.
Restrictions apply. Contact store for details.
Hi, this is Mike Holmgren. Join the Browns in supporting the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign at Cleveland Browns Stadium on Sunday, November 20th. For more information on how you can help, visit SalvationArmyCleveland.org.
Thank you so much for spending this portion of your Monday with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. And this first portion of our roundtable segment is driven by none other than Liberty Ford. And we gather the roundtable to look back at yesterday's 13-12 loss to the Rams. And yeah, it's Going to be a tough one to sort through here, guys, but we'll do it anyway. It's Jim Donovan, the play-by-play voice of the Browns from the Browns Radio Network. Jimmy, how you holding up?
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
Hanging in there, Vic.
Doug Deacon, color analyst.
I'm only hanging in there because of the guy you're about to introduce. Yeah. He pulled me through.
Are you helping this guy out? You propping him up there, Deke?
I was just hoping the call was going to be a little different than the one he made.
And, of course, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. How you doing?
Vic, doing well. Thanks, bud.
Okay, good. Well, guys, it was I guess you're in this game long enough, you do get to see pretty much anything and everything. That one reminded me. I got a flashback to the movie All the Right Moves, Tom Cruise, and something to the effect of the extra point, I think, was the scene where they lost the game and all hell broke loose for that high school team. This is an NFL game. And, I mean, the last thing, you know, we're thinking about expecting is a 22-yarder involving the man who makes pretty much everything, Mr. Money, Phil Dawson, not to be made.
I think he played for Ampipe, didn't he, in that movie?
Yeah.
I think that's
you know the movie.
Yeah.
unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. I thought they were going to win the game with five field goals. You know, they won their last home game with two field goals when they won 6-3. So, I mean, I thought that they were going to get away with it. I was fairly confident that the defense might be able to hang on to that at the end of the game. And, boy, when I saw that ball go back like that, now you have seen everything. I mean, you've really
seen
everything.
I mixed my movies back. I think it was a fumble at the end of that game. I'm thinking of
North Dallas 40.
North Dallas 40 is the movie I'm thinking about, where the good one. Yeah.
Siskel and Ebert.
Anyway, yes, a little Siskel and Ebert. Hey, we might as well do that. I mean, it's better than what we. But, Doug, go ahead. Your thoughts.
Well, I mean, you got people that you are probably your most reliable people, Ryan Pontryon, you got Phil Dawson, and then on the one return, you know, Josh Cribbs fumbles the ball that gave him the 3 points to go ahead. It's just one of those, you sit back and you say, you know, what's going to happen next? And, you know, unfortunately, that's something you can't have the football team thinking, you know, what's going to go wrong next, and that's where you get in trouble.
Doug's right on the money. I mean, the one thing that we've been able to count on around here over the last few years is that field goal unit and Josh Cribbs, and they both, you know, they both made big mistakes down the stretch. So it's too bad. You know, Vic, you can appreciate this. You know, as the AP guy, I have to have a lead put together before that final gun, and I think I wrote four different ones in the last 2 minutes. So, you know, when Phil went out there, I was like, well, you know, this is over. They got it in the bag.
Yeah, and I guess when you're talking about a season like this, where we've seen this football team get overwhelmed, as was the case in Houston, I guess, for the first time, and then really kind of battle back from that, I think showed me a lot, maybe particularly on the defensive side of the ball, but there were some good things that happened offensively as well, and you almost find yourself cringing a little bit when you try to look at those positives, but there were. I mean, there really were some good things that happened on both sides of the ball for this Browns team, but for the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they would play better defensively. I don't know if Dick Geron really lit a fuse under Phil Taylor, but he really played a great game,
maybe
I thought.
The best game
I thought that it looked like Hayden was off to a tough start in that game yesterday, and then I thought he kind of clamped down a little bit. I mean, I was very pleased with the way they played. I mean, Jackson's going to hit you for a couple of runs, and he did. I mean, he had over 120.
Well, but I think in the end, you look at Obanaya's number, pre-carry, and Jackson's, they were the same. They were like 4.7. So that was a positive. I thought Colt McCoy handled the game very well in conditions where it wasn't really easy to throw the ball down the field. The one, I don't know if the 57-yarder was wind-aided or not, but, you know, it was a big completion. And, you know, Phil Taylor, I mean, I thought he made one hustle play where he chased down Stephen Jackson from behind, and I thought that was pretty impressive. But you know, and the Joe Hayden thing, Joe was doing something, and he adjusted, and he made the proper adjustment.
And you know, people are harping on the red zone problems and what have you, and those certainly were a problem yesterday. I think they had four trips inside there. I'm not sure how many plays, but to not score a touchdown, it's going to hurt you there. But you know, there was also some creativity on that offense that we haven't seen. You know, whether it's razzle dazzle or handing the ball off to Greg Little on an end around, or you know, just some other things, some misdirection. I thought it was a pretty well-called game by the coaching staff.
It reflected to me, that game plan and the play calling of Pat Shurmur reflected what I kind of thought would happen. A guy who knows that football team very well, that St. Louis Rams team, having spent the past 2 years there, knows its weaknesses, knows its vulnerabilities, certainly offensively, and that was, I'm sure, a real help to Dick Geron on the defense. So Pat gets credit, I believe, deservedly so, for the creativity, for the imagination that he brought to this offense, and yet he's been taking quite a pounding too for conservatism toward the end of the game. But I really have I've looked that over, and I'm looking at it as objectively as I can. I had no problem with trying to set up that scenario that he had set up. Put it in the hands of the money kicker, and put it in the hands of a defense that was playing exceptionally well all day.
And bleed the clock. I mean, that's what the purpose was. You run the ball, you throw an incompletion, the clock stops. So, I mean, everything was right. I mean, it was, you know, people say, well, you're playing not to lose. No, you're playing to win. It's just you're putting the ball in the hands of your people.
Well, and don't you think, though, that their inability to score in the red zone, you know, led to the decisions towards the end? earlier in the game.
I think that all plays into it. I think Pat Shermer said no, but I would think in the back of my mind, if you're a human being, you can't lose sight of that for sure. Yeah. But more than anything, though, I'm trusting the defense more than I'm not trusting
the offense. I think you have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right before halftime, and they didn't have a lot of time, obviously, after Little made that play, but they did have a couple of shots in there, and there was nothing open.
Yeah.
I mean, they were blanketed. I mean, even Evan Moore with the face mask.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I had no problem with – I could see what they were doing. It was very obvious. That's the way they're going to have to win right now. I mean, you know, they were going to win that way. If they were going to win the game, they're going to win it on 5 field goals. The only thing that is a little scary was the Alex Smith situation in the backfield, and it was well explained today that Owen Marisic had come out, and by the time that they had realized that Alex Smith was in at the fullback spot, he couldn't decommunicate the play and call it off
because the cutoff on the communication
into McCoy's helmet, and he couldn't get near an official to call a timeout.
Yeah, that's the one that I keep coming back to, though, Jimmy, is why at that point doesn't somebody call the timeout, whether it's Colt stepping back away from the line or somebody on the sideline getting a signal out to one of the officials. I mean,
I have to tell you something.
Well, it's a good thing the game didn't end on that one.
No, I know. You're right. I don't know how the heck Cripps got in there and got the ball.
No kidding.
Yeah. It is the roundtable portion as we review yesterday's 13-12 loss against the Rams. Vic Carucci with Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon and Tom Withers. Guys, as we talked about Colt McCoy, and that is, I guess, one circumstance, one moment where possibly it's in that development conversation of a younger guy who maybe has to feel that sense of authority to defy the situation, the coach, and take command and take charge on his own. But overall, what I liked about Colt in that game was that he showed me improvement. He, a guy who's been under siege, a guy who hasn't been able to show a lot of anything, yesterday played. The offensive line gave him an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Certainly the Rams pass rush, which predominantly just sends 4 guys after the quarterback. They don't do a lot of exotic stuff pressure-wise. And he worked with that. And Jim, I was encouraged. I mean, I just said I wanted to see something good from Colt. I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he was very good with the ball. I think Obanaya gave him a little bit more time, and I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable. It was good seeing him not racing around all the time and having to get out of there, and he stayed in there a little bit more. And I thought that, you know, he managed that last drive the way he was supposed to manage the last drive, even to the point where he wanted to get the ball into the right position on the field for a real easy field goal attempt.
Right, yeah, I mean, obviously the running game helps, and when you get the running game, it helps the pass protection. And it also, I think, you know, you talk about St. Louis not doing a lot of blitzing. They're trying to cover up for their secondary because they were kind of dropping flies back there. And, you know, it was not a day where you wanted to really throw the ball very deep because the ball was moving on you.
The
people that, you know, have not been down on the field, and when you play catch from 20 yards, you know, you're looking at it's going to come at your chest, and, you know, it's about 4 yards outside. So, you know, I thought Colt did a great job yesterday.
I agree with Doug. You know, the last 2 weeks, he's shown me some growth and made me realize that, you know, surrounded by more talent, maybe this can be a guy that can orchestrate a top offense in this league. You know, he's made better decisions the last 2 weeks. And like Jimmy said, you know, he's not back. He wasn't panicking yesterday in the pocket when it was breaking down.
And I was very impressed, again, with Chris Obanaya. You're talking about a guy who, by all accounts, shouldn't have a role on this team. Maybe he'd still be on the practice squad of the Texans or whatever had fate not been had not done what it did, which is allow him to come in here as a starter, not just another body. And run pretty hard. And I don't think it was a role, we know it was a role he was not ready for when he arrived, but he's been put out there. And I thought he showed me something yesterday because initially I saw a lot of runs that were into the pile, and then eventually he's kicking some things outside and doing what his talent allows him to do a little more.
I thought he hit everything pretty hard. You know, and he hit it fast. I mean, when he saw his big run, he saw that thing open up on the right side, and he was through it. I didn't think there was any thinking about it or anything like that. I thought he was more direct.
Yeah, he was more one cut yesterday, and I think, you know, that it's something you learn. I mean, you play in this league, and the guys in college aren't as fast. You get in this league, everybody's fast.
And I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, I thought he just missed on a couple, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought there were a couple where one broken tackle or get to that next level, he could have made some bigger gains.
And speaking of guys, though, Doug, that you mentioned who have to learn about the speed and whatever, you see it more from Greg Little each week, too. And I saw that yesterday where on that 52-yard catch, positioning himself as much as, and let's give Colt McCoy the credit for also putting that, as you say, dealing with that wind and everything else, that ball to be right where it needed to be for him to catch it. But and then he gets a run. He comes around on that reverse. I like more of what I see from Little now as trusting the team, trusting him, and Little trusting himself to be the dynamic presence on this football team.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing we all want to see is, you know, him to get the yards after the catch. I mean, it's one thing to catch it, but in this offense, that's what you know makes the difference.
Sure, no question about it. All right, we're just getting started on the roundtable. Doug Deacon and Jim Donovan and Tom Withers with yours truly, Vic Carucci. We are going to break this game down further, yesterday's 13-12 loss to the St. Louis Rams. We're also going to give out some game balls from this Browns performance as well in this portion of the show. We ask you to stick around. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has a large selection of pre-owned vehicles on sale now. Visit libertyford.com to view hundreds of pre-owned vehicles with special internet pricing, all makes and models, rates as low as 1.9%, and guaranteed financing. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick,
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security on Route 91 in Twinsburg and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
Betrayal, shocking family secret. Oh, and this sounds like Monday to me. First on the new Terra Nova. Can the colony survive treason?
She's a spy.
And this.
One bite and you're infected.
Terra Nova. This on a provocative new house. A son is dying.
Everything's shutting down. What does that mean?
Now, the only way to save him is to reveal a shocking truth.
Mom's hiding something.
Fox Monday. It all starts tonight at 8 on Fox 8. Then at 10. Tonight at 10.
There's no way we could catch this.
Fake Ohio ID made in China.
The technology that's out there that has not been duplicated.
High-tech counterfeit. Even the experts can't tell the difference.
Very difficult. Almost impossible.
Fake ID made in China. Tonight on Fox 8 News at 10.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
We're back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. ZZ Top, Dino Di Natale playing great tunes, as he always does, our outstanding producer. Hey, Browns fans, Cleveland Browns single game tickets are still available. You purchase yours before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns-Jacksonville Jaguars game on Sunday, November 20th at 1 p.m. at Cleveland Browns Stadium. For more information, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. And this game ball segment of the roundtable is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Continuing with the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, breaking down yesterday's 13-12 loss to the St. Louis Rams. This will be our game ball portion as well. But before we get to them, a little more to analyze about yesterday's game, a lot more actually. But we talked about the offense, Colt McCoy and Chris Obanaya and others in their role, the offensive line. I also think the gadgetry that Pat Shurmur utilized, the various trick plays that he brought in and really opened up his playbook, not only a sign of what he knew about this Rams team, but also a sign of a coach being innovative with trying to squeeze out a lot from a very limited offense.
You know, well, you're right. I mean, he's empty in the bag at this point. But I have to tell you something. I think Seneca Wallace is one heck of an athlete. I think what he does, I mean, he goes in there and does some things, and he hasn't had a sniff of the field all year long. And I thought that, I thought that double reverse, the throwback to him down the sideline, was exceptional. I mean, you know, I saw him do it in Seattle when Mike Holmgren was coaching the team. I thought that was a great play.
One thing that kind of bothers me, though, is I don't see a lot of receivers getting open, you know, where it's a clear cut, you know, where Little got behind. That was probably the most open we saw anybody yesterday.
That's a great point.
That's one thing, you know, that the advantage of sitting in the press box and where Jimmy and Doug sit is that you can see the whole field. And there were many times where I turned to a few of my colleagues in the press box yesterday and I said, nobody's open. He's got nobody to throw to.
Right.
And there's times where then Colt is, you know, rolling right to keep the play going. You know, he got the horse collar on the one play because he was able to keep the play going. But I'm with Doug. There's not a whole lot open down the field.
And it goes back to this idea that here we are. Just past the midpoint of the season. I mean, we're on our way to week number 10, and the head coach has to go to some pretty dramatic means to make some of this stuff happen. I guess the key here is that once you've shown a lot of those things, I don't know that you can't make a living on that. We see the for instance, the Wildcat plays that he was the least effective of everything that he did utilize. That was the least effective, and that's been, I guess, the most, from a league-wide perspective, sustainable gadgetry that we see. Every team has some form of flea flicker and different things like that. But once you've shown that, Doug, right, you're not going back to that very soon.
Well, no, but it also makes teams prepare for it and waste a lot of time, you know, looking for ghosts. And I think, you know, the thing is that also we had to do something to get the people out of the box because, you know, people were just loading up and they were blitzing and you know, they're bringing more than we had blockers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you make a big play, at least backs them out a little bit.
You know, this has to drive Pat Shurmur, you know, a little bit crazy, though, to have to do that. I mean, you know, he's got a system that he truly believes in.
Right.
I mean, he said it today. Listen, I know in my heart of hearts this is going to work, but you have to go to this. And I know that, you know, it's got to be tough to go against what you really want to do and suddenly start. I mean, it looks like you draw a couple of these things in the dirt, a couple of these plays.
You know, the offense is based off a rhythm, you know, the passing game. Massaquah wasn't there yesterday.
No.
We talked about the running backs. We know what's happened there. So, I mean, and you had no offseason. So, you know, it's really – and the only way you're going to build is by continuing trying to do it.
Right.
So you get, you know, everybody, you know, you can evaluate whether the people can fit.
And as you said, Vic, too, putting his trust in the defense, the one thing that he knows that he can count on at this point. Because if you can't move the ball into the end zone, you've got no other choice.
And, you know, Vic, I'll tell you, just on what Tom's saying there, and I think the other thing was that I didn't think they got a lot of pressure on Bradford yesterday, but I thought late in the game, they started to get it on. Taylor got the sack. Yeah. I thought they were starting to hit him a little bit more. And I think that there was some confidence there that, hey, listen, not only do I believe we're going to stop him, but I think we might knock him down. You know, and maybe you're going to force a bad throw.
Well, they did a lot of max protection, I think, to make sure he didn't get hit because they knew he was immobile with that ankle. So they kept a lot of people in. And, you know, it's one of those. Sooner or later, you hope to, you know, get it. And then Phil Taylor finally got one.
Yeah. Doug, your thoughts on this offensive line, because I felt for the first time in a game, they played as if they were – there was that feeling of – for sake of a better term, embarrassment. I mean, there was a feeling that they'd heard too much about how they're the weakest link of this offense and how the quarterback is, it doesn't have a prayer and he's under siege, and all these things have been true. As you mentioned, a lot of it is the blitzing where the math is not working in their favor. But by and large, as proud as that group is, when you think of guys like Joe Thomas and you think of guys like Alex Mack and Tony Pachos, and then a lot of the problems that had been with that interior with those younger players, it just seemed like everybody got either they called themselves out or called out each other. But that performance had some. There was an elevated sense to it. Did you see the same thing?
Well, yeah, but I go back to the other point. The running game really helps it. I mean, I can't tell you how much if you run the football, it helps me, because there was a bootleg yesterday where, you know, there was nobody, you know, chasing Cole. Well, yeah. In the past, teams would just send the ends up the field because they didn't have to, you know, honor the running game.
But is it the effort to run or the quality of the running game?
Well, a combination of both. I mean, you run to keep an eye on us, but when you're getting success, then all of a sudden, you know, people have to stay at home a little bit more.
Sure. No, and I thought that was pretty much the case, and it seemed as if, and we talked about the defense, which I this could be maybe, and I know we're maybe I'm reaching here, but it could be that turning point moment for this team where you come back from such a god awful, and look, Steven Jackson had his yards, but a god awful game at Houston where I started to wonder what the defense was all about. They did come back in a way that led me to believe that what we really saw prior to that game, prior to that Houston game, was legit.
Yeah, and they did it without T.J. Ward, and they're going to have to do it without T.J. Ward again this week.
Their best run, support.
Absolutely. So I thought that Young went in there. I thought he played pretty well. He was visible, and he was getting his nose up there and making some plays. So I thought they would play better.
Tackling was a lot better.
It was a lot better, yeah.
And to the point about putting the game in the defense's hands, you know, they'd lost both their starting tackles. So that way, you know, if they were going to have to move 80 yards down the field, you know, the percentage was definitely going to be in the defense's favor.
There's no question, or it should be. All right, time for some game balls, because, again, I think this was a performance where we could call a little more than an acknowledgement. Up to the point of disaster, there was some solid performance all the way around. Jim, who do you want to give?
I'm going to give Obanaya a game ball, and on the day's worst play, I'm actually going to give a game ball, because I thought Brad Maynard even getting that ball set up was an amazing play.
Yeah.
So, I like to put a little sunshine into what was a very, very dark moment.
I go with Obanaya. I mean, the guy, you know, did what he was, you know, they needed him to do yesterday.
Yeah. How about you,
Tom? I'm going to give one to Phil Dawson. 4 out of 5, you know, I know it's the one, everybody's going to remember the one that he missed, but under those circumstances, tough, windy day, you know, hey, he's the only guy that scored for the Browns in the last 2 home games. And then just one big collective ball to those fans that have stuck through thick and thin here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these have been 13 very tough years. And for a lot of those fans, you know, that put their money down and come out week after week, I give them a lot of credit. And, you know, they continue to stand by this team.
Yeah, I'll go with that one as well. I want to give a couple just to the defensive side. Phil Taylor, for his play,
nice job.
He had his game of the season. Scott Fujita also stepping up and getting that nice deflection interception. Probably could have had another pick as well. But I thought the defense as a whole rose to the occasion, and I do agree with all the other game balls we discussed here. All right, gentlemen. That's great. We'll reconvene on Friday and take a look at the Browns-Jaguars game. Jimmy Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. Gentlemen, thank you. And
are you back up there?
Again,
a good mile.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design,
third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Looking for more than a song on your birthday? How about a whole concert? Get a free ticket to the Cleveland House of Blues during your birthday month when you join the First Merit Birthday Club. Be one of the first 15,000, and you'll get a $25 voucher toward dinner, too. Just visit firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. So log on and rock on with the First Merit Birthday Club. First Merit Bank. You first. Must be a First Merit customer with online banking to join. Full terms apply. See firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. Member FDIC.
In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security on Route 91 in Twinsburg and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. You wouldn't give your money to a door-to-door banker or take medical advice from a door-to-door doctor, so you shouldn't trust a door-to-door home alarm salesman to protect your family. At Alarm Force, we never go door-to-door, and only with Alarm Force you get free live two-way voice, installation, activation, and warranty, and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
Hey, gang, the Roadman, Kenny Rhoda here for Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge on the Bedford Auto Mile. And boy, do they have some great deals for you this month. Imported from Detroit for their big finish event, you can drive the all-new 2011 Chrysler 200. I've driven it. It absolutely rocks. It's nicely equipped with 0% APR for up to 72 months while supplies last. So ask for my man, Rick Heller. He told me he has some super low deals to finish the year on that Chrysler 200. I loved it. You know what? It's sweet looking, it rides great, and it has all the new technology you need, and it's affordable. So head on out to Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge at 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile and see these deals for yourself. Save on quality cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs at prices you can afford. You'll get a complete car buying experience from the great staff at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge in Bedford. Call the Ganley team today, 440-232-2121 for more info. Tell them the Roadman sent you for their big finish event. See dealer for complete details.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time to give you the results of our poll question. You voted, the Browns official Facebook page. The question was, as it always is after a Browns game, is, who were the standout, or who was the standout Browns player from the loss? I'd like that question to be from the win. I guess we did that three times this year, but unfortunately, this is our sixth post-losing poll question. Nonetheless, Phil Dawson, Greg Little, Chris Obanaya, Phil Taylor were the choices. You voted, and many of you, and this is nice, 78%. Many of you voted. 78% of you said Phil Dawson. So you saw the full context of what, and it was Tom Withers in our roundtable segment who wanted to give Phil a game ball as well. So you agreed with him because, he did four of the five field goals that he tried, and that fifth one had, for him, extenuating circumstances. Greg Little finishes second with 11%. My guy, I voted for Phil Taylor. He got 5% of the voting. I mean, I gave him a game ball in our segment. You voted 5% there, and then Chris Obanai. All right. Some questions from Ask Vic from our Browns official Facebook page. Colin, the Browns have not scored a touchdown in the first in the first or third quarter yet this season. What are the root causes and how will they be addressed? I think the root causes are still pretty obvious. Youth, injury, inability for guys to get open. We talked about this during the roundtable, and I agree with that. I think Colt McCoy's progress slash development, whatever you want to call it, and the growing pains that have gone with that have been part of the problem. I think he had fewer of those pains on Sunday. Aaron, why do we always settle for field goals? Trust issues? You know, tying in with that previous question, Aaron, I would say I don't know that it's a matter of trust or lack thereof. I do think you wonder if guys can get open. I think you're not seeing things consistently happening from an offensive standpoint, and I do think you tend to be a little more conservative that way. Running the offensive line's issues. Running the ball is better from that standpoint. And why are the Browns, from Laura, why are the Browns doing things better but only getting worse? I like the way she phrased this. And Laura, it does get frustrating. I thought that yesterday was a classic example of a game where they did things better, for sure, but didn't have a result to show for it because of a real botched up, agonizing, infuriating type of ending. So I think that you summed it up with that question. That's why I saved it for last. We want to thank Bernie Kosar, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, Kristen Ribelli, Pat McKenna, Jameer Howerton, Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily Drip by Liberty Ford.